Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with simple Bible studies in the book of Exodus. We're so glad for the letters which we receive from you, and we are rejoicing in the fact that He is blessing the Word of God to your hearts and to your lives. Some of you who have written in with prayer requests, we're glad to say that we pray for those requests, and we do know that the Lord hears and the Lord answers. He may not answer the way we want Him to answer, but because He loves you, He'll answer your prayers the way He wants to do it. Because He has you on His heart, you are the object of His love and of His affection. So keep on writing, will you? And pray for us. I pray that every need may be supplied. How glad we are for the fact that so many are praying for us. And I want to tell you, my friend, I need it. All of us need it. We need to remember each other before the throne of grace. And isn't it wonderful that we have the throne of grace to which we can come at any time, under any circumstance, and know that His ear is open to us. I like the way Campbell Morgan said it. He said, "The Lord cocks His ear." Now that's an old English expression. The Lord cocks His ear to hear the faintest cry of His weakest child. As if the Lord was cupping His ear to hear just what you're thinking, what you're saying. He knows your need. He meets your need. He indeed is the all-sufficient one for you and for me. Now we see this so wonderfully demonstrated here in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. You remember they've gone into the wilderness with God. And now they've pitched their tents between Elim, which was a place where there were wells and palm trees. And now on their way to Sinai, where they receive the law of God. They're going to exchange the grace of God for the law. I say that very frankly. When you start chapter 19 on through, you have where they're given the law and where God is shut out from Israel. Now you notice in verses 2, 3, you have their murmurings. As I say, they've gone without food. And they begin to murmur. I can understand that. The Lord does too. But He's going to prove them. Why does God put them in a test? That He might prove them. They said, "We remember the flesh pots of Egypt. And now you brought us into this howling wilderness. What for? To kill us with hunger." And God said, "I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my way or not. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Now you see it very clearly. Each day, each one was to go out and gather the manna according to their appetite, whatever they needed for the house. But on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much, because there was going to be none there the seventh day. Now I'm reading on, verse 6. "And even you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then shall you see the glory of the Lord. For He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us. Your murmurings are against Jehovah, against the Lord." Verse 10, "It came to pass that as the congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." And then you have God speaking to Moses to pass on to Israel. "You shall know that I am Jehovah your God." In verse 15, "When the children of Israel saw the manna," I saw these small round thing as hoarfrost on the ground. "When they saw it, they said, 'It's manna,' for they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. You see. And when they did meet it out, verse 18, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses. Some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man, according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, I'm taking the time to read that. And I want to take up one or two things with you. First of all, may I read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where the Lord in verses 2 and 3 says, For 40 years in the wilderness he led you to humble you, to prove you, to know what was really in your heart, whether you would keep my word or not. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger. And then he fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Your raiment didn't wax old, your foot didn't swell these 40 years. Not an amazing passage. One could go on down to the scriptures in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15, verse 21. He fed them bread from heaven. You have the same thing in the 78th Psalm, verses 23 to 25. Psalm 78, verses 23 to 25. He fed them on heavenly food. The bread of heaven he fed them. And also in the 105th Psalm, verse 40, he fed them bread from heaven. He fed them angels' food. The wheat of heaven, he fed them to a people, a race of slaves, redeemed by precious blood, and brought to God. God brought them to himself. If I may quote from chapter 19, he said, I brought you on eagle's wings to myself. Now, why did he do this? He did it to prove them. Why does God put us into tests and trials? To prove us. To see if we really love the Lord. To see if we're really obedient to the Lord himself. Now, in verses 4 to 5, if you want a breakdown of the chapter, in verses 4 to 5, the manna was given to prove them. In verses 6 to 10, it was also a manifestation of his presence, that they may know that God was in their midst. You will notice in verse 7, In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. In verse 10, Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And by the way, they did not see the glory of God in Egypt. They saw the glory of God in the wilderness. God didn't feed them on manna, heavenly bread, when they were in Egypt. He fed them upon manna when they were in the wilderness, after they were redeemed. God doesn't feed the unsaved man, the unredeemed, with bread from heaven, as we shall see. The food in Egypt was for an earthly people. The manna is for a redeemed people. And they were to gather it according to their appetite. You see, friend, even here you'll find disobedience. In verses 19 and 20, Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning, what you eat every day. What you gather, you eat. You gather according to your appetite. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. And by evening it stank. By the next morning it was wormy and stank. Amazing thing how quick we are. You know, the natural man does not relish spiritual food. The unsaved man knows nothing of spiritual food. That's why sometimes the unsaved man of the world is puzzled, greatly puzzled at Christians. Sometimes what they do, sometimes where they are, and where they go. See. For example, Here a group of people arranging to live all year to spend 2 weeks vacation, and then where do you think they go? They go to a Bible conference. I remember coming from the Erie Side Bible Conference, Erie Side near Cleveland, Ohio one time. I was on the train on my way to Chicago, and I got talking to a man on the train, and he said, "Are you in business?" No, I said, I've just come from a Bible conference in Cleveland, Ohio. "A Bible conference?" I said, "Yes." "Do you mean you've been a whole week studying the Bible?" I said, "Yes." "Do you mean there were other people there?" I said, "Yes, 700 or 800 of them." And I said, "By the way, they had Bible 3 times in the morning and twice in the afternoon and twice at night." "You mean they were there studying their Bibles?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I can't believe that." "You mean the Bible?" I said, "Yes, the Bible." I said, "What's wrong with that?" "Man of the world, you go out, you have a good time. Man takes a few days off, what does he do? Drinks, gets drunk, does a few other things he shouldn't do. He thinks he's had a great time." And I say, "Great time. Spend a whole week, spend all your money on this." "Oh," you say, "I got a bang out of it." "Well, what did he get out of it?" "Looks like you got a hangover." You don't have a hangover when you go to a Bible conference. You go home refreshed. You've been feeding on heavenly food. I say again, the man of the world, they don't understand that. They don't understand people going to Bible classes. I know that here in Portland. I've heard people say, "Why, you mean you went to church in the morning and you went to the Bible class in the afternoon? Went back to church at night?" "Yeah." Aren't you getting kind of hyper-religious?" You see, the man of the world doesn't understand. In Egypt, you had your leeks and your garlic and your onions and your cucumbers and your melons. But now God feeds a redeemed people on heavenly food. Allow me to do something. In the Gospel through John chapter 6, do you remember that passage? I think if you ever gone to Sunday school, you know something about the I Ams of the book of John. You remember, I am the water of life, I am the judge, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. The I Ams of the Gospel through John. Now in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. See, 4 times in that passage, he talks about raising people from the dead. And they said to Jesus, the Lord Jesus said, they asked the question, first of all, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Now remember the question, what shall we do the works of God? Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Put your trust in the one whom God has sent. Now mark their answer. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou, that we may see, we might believe? What do you work? Show us some signs that we should put our trust in you." This is back of it. Then they added this, "Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." You see. So your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. But the bread that I'm going to give you will last forever. You see, "Well, everyone give us this bread." They murmured among themselves about this very thing. No, friend, allow me to say this, that God has given to us living bread. In the 49th verse of that 6th chapter of John, Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. But the bread that I'm going to give you, the bread that comes down from heaven, if a man eat thereof, he will never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. So on. You see, a redeemed people are to be fed upon heavenly bread. And we must feed on them every day. Amazing thing, isn't it? We go and we get up and we have our breakfast. 12 o'clock, you want lunch. At 6 o'clock, you want dinner. And some want a snack before they go to bed. We never neglect our physical bodies. You see, you say, well, that's only common sense. That's right. That's right. God has given us the sense to take care of our bodies. Well, when you read this passage here, you'll notice God sent them bread from heaven. John chapter 6. For us today, our Savior is the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he'll never die. Did you hear what I said? Jesus said, if you eat of the bread which came down from heaven, the bread that I'll give you, I am the bread of life. If a man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. He'll never die. What is God offering to you? Eternal life, eternal food. And you'll notice that they had to seek their bread. They went out early in the morning to gather the manna. And so we too. We ought to feed on the Word of God. And I'm speaking to Mitchell when I'm saying this, believe me. Before the day's work just piles in into your life, we ought to give Him first place in our lives, first thing in the morning. Give Him first place. Too many Christians relegate the Lord to second, third, or fourth place. I ask you the question, Christian friend, is He first in your life? They went early in the morning and gathered. You see, before other things came in, they had their first meal of the day was the manna, heavenly food. And they gathered according to their appetite. You see, our new life in Christ must be nourished and sustained by Christ Himself. I am the bread of life. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Oh, they said, show us a sign. Our fathers ate manna, heavenly food. Yes, said Jesus, and they're dead. Our Lord could say in John 6:57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And again he repeats it, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You see, it's not a question now of redemption. It's a question of sustenance. The Passover is never repeated, but the manna comes every day. A sinner comes to the Savior and he is saved once for all forever. He's redeemed. Christ never dies a second time for a sinner. Christ only died once. It was a perfect work of redemption for anyone who will receive it. But after one receives a Savior, what about then? Then there must be that daily sustenance, feeding upon the Word of God. You remember that passage I quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, the third verse. Man shall not live by bread alone. He's talking about the manna. But upon every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, there must be a daily sustenance for the believer in Christ. My friend, if you don't feed on the Word of God, you'll shrivel up in your spiritual life. I say this very candidly. Too many Christians today, and I'm not judging them concerning their faith in Christ, but they've shriveled up. They've never grown. What would you think of a baby being born into the world? And after it's born into the world, it's not fed. Why, you say the baby will die. It'll shrivel up. That's right. When we accept a Savior, we are redeemed. We've been bought with a price. We become God's child. We enjoy forgiveness. We become a member of the family of God. He's my Father. I'm His child. Now then, God has made the provision for my daily sustenance. And they gathered it, if I may go back to chapter 16 of Exodus, they gathered it in the morning, they gathered it according to their appetite. It's not a question, I say, of being saved. It's a question now of sustenance. If I'm talking to anyone who's never accepted the Savior, then, my friend, you have no life. You're still in Egypt. You have no life. And I would plead with you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. For He said, no man cometh to the Father but by Me. He said, I am the bread of life. If a man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. And you have sustenance. And I plead with you who are Christians, never neglect the Word of God. The moment you neglect the beginning, moment you neglect the Word of God, then you begin to go down. Your life begins to go down spiritually. And first thing you know, you become bogged down, out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with His people, and you live a miserable life because God ordains that you should walk before Him. So I plead with your heart this morning, today, whatever the time may be where you are, feed on the Word of God. Do it in the morning. And remember that God is your portion. He'll satisfy your heart every hour of every day. Now may the Lord bless you for His precious name's sake.